Blog Talk Radio.
The Promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, Promise Number 9. I will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. This image of Jesus and the Sacred Heart. It's probably the most popular image of Jesus. However, many would not know about these 12 promises of Jesus. Many would not know the history nor the biblical implication. For some, just having an image of any kind would be to them idolatry. Of course, that objection is absurd. They take Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 through 6 out of context. You shall not make for yourself an idol or a likeness of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or serve them, For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their ancestors' wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but showing love down to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments." So you can see how they really misunderstand this whole thing about Jesus and his Sacred Heart, which we are prepared, you know, preparation for the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is coming up on the 24th of June. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, love and reparation. The solemnity consists of the adoration of the heart of our Lord Jesus, which is the chief sign and symbol of his continuous, never-ending, and merciful love for all of us, pierced by our sins and for our salvation. So the above passage in context refers to creating false gods, such as the golden calf that was made by the Hebrews as Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. Consider Exodus chapter 25, 18 through 20. Make two cherubim of beaten gold for the two ends of the cover. Make one cherub at one end and the other at the other end, on one piece with the cover at each end. The cherubim shall have their wings spread out above, sheltering the cover with them. They shall face each other with their faces looking toward the cover. Now, did God break his own command? Not at all. Clearly, there is a difference from a holy object, such as an idol, used to worship false gods. If you're not convinced, consider 1 Kings chapter 6. Solomon built the temple for the worship of God. Consider verse 23-28. In the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubim, each 10 cubits high, made of pine. Each wing of a cherub was 5 cubits, so that the span from wingtip to wingtip was 10 cubits. The second cherub was also 10 cubits. The two cherubim were identical in size and shape. The first cherubim was 10 cubits high, and so was the second. He placed the cherubim in the innermost part of the house. The wings of the cherubim were spread wide so that one wing of the first touched the side wall and the wing of the second touched the other wall. The wings pointed to the middle of the room, the sanctuary. They touched each other. He overlaid the cherubim with gold. Notice that in this temple Solomon built, within the sanctuary, two statues of angels are placed. They are not the objects of worship, but are placed to enhance the worship of the unseen God. Throughout the temple were images of angels, which tells you that heavenly images were not seen as idols here. Consider 1 Kings chapter 9, 1-5 states, after Solomon finished building the house of the Lord, the temple, the house of the king, and everything else that he wanted to do, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him in Gideon. The Lord said to him, "I have heard the prayer of petition which you offered in my presence. I have consecrated this house which you have built, and I set my name there forever. My eyes and my heart shall be there always. As for you, if you walk before me as David, your father, did, wholeheartedly and uprightly, doing all that I have commanded you, keeping my statutes and ordinances, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father. There shall never be wanting someone from your line in the throne of Israel, which Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this. And it is his heart we're talking about here tonight, the celebrating the image of his Sacred Heart. And I think it's very interesting here that the Lord blesses off on the temple that Solomon built and had all the statues and everything in it. And if God was offended by that, he would have said, hey, I bless this house, this temple, but take all the statues out. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. He says, I have heard the prayer of petition which you offered in my presence. I have consecrated this house which you have built, and I set my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there always. And may our Lord's heart, his Sacred Heart, be enthroned in each and every heart in our homes, because we honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And what does it say, the promise, number 9? I will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. Wow. That is very important. Very important. Something very interesting we find here with the completion and dedication of the temple. God says something so clear here. First, God heard the prayer of Solomon and accepted it. Secondly, the Lord consecrates the temple and set his name there forever. His heart shall be there always. Now, I find this extremely interesting. If God would have had problems with statues and images, this would have been the time to make it plain. If God saw these images as idols, he would certainly have told Solomon that the temple I will consecrate once you get the idols out. God did not say that. Did he? No, he didn't. He accepted the temple as it was. And notice God's heart will always be there. Remember that Solomon is the son of King David. Jesus also is the son of David. And it is Jesus' heart that is very important to this story. Jesus is the Messiah, God's only son. And Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. The Sacred Heart of Jesus literally is the heart of God. Ezekiel 36 verses 25 to 26 states, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. You shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will pour within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I would say that's kind of a pointing to the Eucharist. The Eucharist, his heart. And every Eucharistic miracle is always the left ventricle of the heart that is revealed. Wow. Now that I have dispelled the false notion that holy objects are idols, Jesus has no problem asking for the image of his Sacred Heart to inspire devotion to him. From the Shroud of Turin to Our Lady of Guadalupe, all the images coming from the Catholic Church are authorized for personal, public use. These 12 promises are coming from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can place our trust and the one who gave them. Again, number 9, the 9th promise, I will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. Wow.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash came out with that song, I Walk the Line, in 1956. It happens to be the year that I was born. So I can say to my mother and through the Holy Catholic Church that I've been walking his line ever since.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are. But he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
Psalms 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praise to our God. For he is gracious, and a song of praise is seemly. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God upon the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. And boy, has he ever. We've been getting all kinds of rain here. Oh, yeah. He makes grass grow upon the hills and Yeah, we keep our grass. I mean, if it keeps growing, I can almost bale hay in my yard. We've been getting so much rain. But he gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens which cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. His heart, his merciful heart, his sacred heart. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. Oh, and that's a good example right there, of the Eucharist right there. Wow. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. And that's Psalms 147. But Jesus gave us his Holy Catholic Church. And through his Holy Catholic Church, it is in every nation. So, novena prayer to the Sacred Heart. Oh my Jesus, you have said, truly I say to you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Behold, I knock, I seek, and ask for the grace of conversion of family members to bring them out of lukewarmness, to bring them into full conversion to you, Lord. Oh, my Jesus, you have said, truly I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, I will give it to you. Behold, in your name, I ask the Father for the grace of conversion of family members, those who have gone away, gone astray. Bring them home, Lord. Bring them back. Bring them to a fervent love for you, for your Sacred Heart, for your Holy Catholic Church. Oh, my Jesus, you have said, truly I say to you, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Encouraged by your infallible words, I now ask for the grace of conversion of family members that have gone astray to bring them home. Bring back home the prodigals, Lord. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, for whom it is impossible not to have compassion on the afflicted, have pity on us miserable sinners and grant us the grace which we ask of you. To the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, your tender mother and ours. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning, weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Saint Joseph, foster father of Jesus, pray for us. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. Saint Margaret, Mary Alaco, pray for us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
He is the good shepherd, and he's laid down his life for his sheep. So out of many nations he's gathered one fold in one faith. And he has built his church on the rock foundation of faith, on apostles and prophets who shepherd the people in his place. There is one faith, one hope, and one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one church, one body, one life in the Spirit, now given so freely to all. He gave to Simon Peter and to all of the 12 the keys of the kingdom, so darkness shall never prevail. But some of the shepherds have pastured themselves on their sheep, so he has come out against them and scattered his people of faith. But there still is one faith, one hope, and one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one church, one body, one life, and the Spirit now given so freely to all.
For some who have gone astray, many of us have experienced that with our children or loved ones have gone astray. And for those who come back, the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus, He is so forgiving. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to be proud of us, so that you may be able to answer those who pride themselves on a man's position and not on his heart. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. To go to confession, the mercy seat of God, the mercy seat of God, that is God, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, that's the church, the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, that is the church. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so that is why it is so important for us, when we go to confession, we receive a judgment of mercy through his Sacred Heart, the ocean of his mercy. In the confessional, which is the mercy seat. So we should run to the mercy seat, especially if we have mortal sin. Get rid of it.